good morning, the world of travel, food, wine, and my husband, Peter.
Yeah, well, I was worried about what you wanted to go do next.
I was going to do foodies and winos, but then I realized that didn't quite fit today's program, which is about drink, but not wine, and we don't have any food on it.
Isn't that amazing?
We've got gin, all kinds of mixed organic. No, it's not organic. The spirits. That's the first one, Brave Spirits. Then we moved to organic. Then we have fruit juice, which is significantly healthy, and we finish with a fabulous tea, which is also healthy.
Oh, is it? So we're
so there's no food and no wine, but there's beverages. Let's do beverages.
Well, we had breakfast. So this is a beverage program for On the Menu Radio, where I'm sure you'll find it interesting, because each of these entrepreneurs is special in a very different kind of way, and we just couldn't resist putting Brave Spirits at the start of the program, and when you hear the people talking about it, you'll understand why.
You know, the best thing about products we deal with are the people that produce them. I just love kinds of people that are entrepreneurs in this industry. Jen Fox and David Fox of Brave Spirits, welcomed On the Menu.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, ma'am.
You can divvy up between the two of you just who wants to answer what, but I think we ought to start this interview by if you could give us a description of your product, which we were so taken with the concept.
Sure. Jen, if it's okay if I take that one?
Go right ahead.
Our products are, we have four spirits that we've created, Valor Vodka, At Ease Rum, First Inn Whiskey, and Standing Guard Gin. The products are 100% American-made. Everything about these spirits, from the ingredients to the distilleries to the bottles and labels, everything about it are made right here using America's workforce and American ingredients. Our vodka is made from wheat from the Midwest, and it's distilled right in Kansas. Our gin, Standing Guard Gin, is, again, using grains from the Midwest and distilled in Iowa. Our whiskey, First Inn Whiskey, is it starts as a bourbon, but then we blend it, so we call it just an American blended whiskey, and that's, of course, blended in Kentucky and distilled in Kentucky. And our rum, At Ease Rum, comes from sugarcane from the Sun Belt, mostly Florida, but it is also there's some from Louisiana, so we just say the Sun Belt, it's easier, and it's aged in oak barrels in Florida.
Describe your bottles.
Sure. Well, the whole reason why we started this company was to honor and celebrate the men and women in uniform. So that's firefighters, that's police officers, that's the men and women of our armed forces. And so the bottle is designed to evoke the image of a soldier or a police officer or a firefighter standing at attention. It's something quite unique. It's striking.
They're gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you.
We mentioned before we came on air that Peter loved it so much that he lined them up on our kitchen counter so that we could stare at them for days.
I find Jennifer and I find ourselves doing the same.
It's a feel good, but it's a whole lot more than a feel good. And I just can't congratulate you enough on having the great idea and then the follow through to make it happen.
Now, well, yeah, go ahead, Jen.
Oh no, and another component of what we do as part of our company, Brave Spirits, is $2 from every bottle that we sell is donated to the Brave Spirits Foundation, which benefits charities that support the men and women of fire, military, and police. That's a very important part of what we do, and we wanted to make sure that these men and women receive contributions directly. And if you go to our website, which is bravespiritswithans.com, you can see an actual ticker of the contributions that are being made to the foundation.
Now, it's not exactly a direct link from the work that you were doing before, Jen, in your case, to actually saying, I'm going to be a manufacturer of spirits. David, you were in the business. You worked with Diageo and a number of other large distributors. But, I mean, where did the idea come from? Well, we can actually make this stuff.
Thank you. It's a great question. It's something we're often asked. Jennifer and I were taking our children to Hawaii for a vacation, and on the way, we stayed over at the Marines Memorial Club and Hotel in San Francisco to spend a couple evenings there, and we're really struck by what we saw there and what we felt, and we thought, you know what, we should toast those men and women for what they do and their sacrifices and their bravery and dedication, and then the idea came, well, we should toast them with something that's American-made spirit, and that's when the light bulb went off, and so the idea started with as a product, as a line of products, a lot of spirits that could that would be used to toast the men and women in uniform. And then it was Jen's brilliant idea to go that step further, which would then where that's where the charitable component comes in, where $2 from every bottle will go to charities that support those men and women. So that was Jennifer's wonderful idea, and that comes directly from her background.
But it must have taken you a while to sort of figure out how to make the connections required to manufacture in the U.S., which in the case of rum certainly isn't done all that much, I don't think.
Correct. You know, it was when we started out and we thought, when Jennifer and I started the company, Brave Spirits, we thought, well, I'm sure it might be a little bit difficult, or it might be certainly perhaps a little more pricey if we were to produce every component of our Brave Spirits products, the vodka, the rum, the whiskey, and the gin, all here in America. We realized, oh, it'll probably be a little more expensive. What we weren't necessarily prepared for was just how difficult it would be to produce something entirely here in the States. There are just some components that, frankly, you can't find here almost anymore. So that was a surprise for us. That was a challenge, but we worked through it. And we thought that perhaps the rum would have been the hardest thing to secure here, a fantastic distillery. How could we find a distillery that could produce a fantastic rum right here in the States? We know we could. We know American workers have the know-how, but where could we? Because, as you're right, Peter, everything is either coming from Jamaica or Puerto Rico or from Barbados or an island like that. So, but we found a fantastic distillery right in Florida, and they produce a great, great rum for us.
Now, what's it been like trying to set up the distribution system? You happen to be fellow citizens of the same Commonwealth as we are, where the Commonwealth goes out of its way to make sure that you can't do the things that you're trying to do.
So we're not touching that one.
I'm assuming you're not yet in distribution in the PA Liquor Control Board stores.
Actually, we are.
Oh, you are? That's great.
We are available in Pennsylvania wine and spirit stores. We have our products in 20 different stores located throughout the state.
Now, that's a coup.
We were incredibly excited to be a Pennsylvania company and have our products on Pennsylvania stores. And actually, if you go to our website, which, again, is bravespirits.com, we have a store locator so that you can actually see what stores in Pennsylvania you can find our products. But one thing that we were very excited about was that the first place our products, you know, the vodka, whiskey, rum, and gin were available were on Army and Air Force bases.
Oh, great.
And we now are current 12 Army and Air Force bases located in 5 states, which we're incredibly excited about.
In addition to Pennsylvania, you can find our products in New Jersey, in Delaware, and in just a week or two, Maryland and D.C., just in the normal store shelves, in addition to those, the bases that Jennifer was talking about. And it seems almost every day we're adding either another base or perhaps another state as well. So if we're not in a state that your listeners might be in currently, we should hopefully be there very soon.
Now tell me this. Do you get really inspired communications from your consumers?
Oh, goodness, yes. It's humbling, frankly.
Tell us what they
say. We expected that. And this wasn't. And when Jennifer and I started the company, Brave Spirit, we made sure that we turned to our friends and our family who have served. Jennifer's grandfather served in World War II, has uncles that have served in the Air Force and the Navy. My father served in the Army. 3 cousins were firefighters. So we turned to the community first, who we were creating the products for. And they helped us create everything about they helped us name the products, design the bottle, everything about what we've done. So we expected that we would get a good reaction, but I think what we've received has been humbling. There are military moms who have offered to volunteer for the company. And
oh, my goodness.
The Spirits Company is a for-profit company. The foundation is the charitable component of it. And so we have people volunteering for a for-profit company. That's quite stunning. We'll have emails or phone calls from either veterans or from, as again, military moms or perhaps the father of someone who is serving right now or police officers and firefighters themselves, saying thank you for doing this, which is kind of interesting because Jennifer and I started this as a thank you to them, and they're thanking us back.
Yeah.
There are some times when you will receive an email that almost brings you to tears when you just hear the story of either of sacrifice or of honor, or how that perhaps they're using our products to celebrate or toast one another. It's truly humbling.
Now, what's next? Do you have another brand of spirit, or do you have some other? I mean, you're a positive fount of ideas. I'm sure you must be coming up with something interesting all the time.
Certainly, when we started the company, taking on 4 products: Valor Vodka, First Inn Whiskey, Addie's Rum, and Standing Guard Gin. Launching with all 4 simultaneously was a challenge enough, as you could imagine. As soon as we launched those 4, we immediately started having requests for, well, we'd like a bourbon, or some folks would call us up saying, hey, we'd love to have a spiced rum, and when are you going to have a brandy, and when are you going to... having a dark rum. And so, yes, we've launched with these four, but very quickly you'll see us starting to add a fifth, a sixth, a seventh American-made spirit, such as a bourbon or a spiced rum. You'll probably see a spiced rum or bourbon be the very next product.
Uh-huh.
And we'll see which one will win that race.
But our intention with all of the Brave Spirits products is that we will always maintain the $2 per bottle sold donation back to the charities that support fire, military, and police. This is something that's incredibly important to us, and it's not a limited-time campaign. This is a permanent part of our business. There's no limit to the contributions. So Dave and I really have a good time seeing our ticker increase every day, because that's one of the major motivating factors for us, is to be able to give back.
Thank you so much for joining us, both of you.
I wish you well.
I feel like starting to sing the Star Spangled Banner at this very moment, and that means it's probably a good time to hang up. But thank you.
Thank you so much
for the wonderful stuff.
And keep us posted on what you're doing.
Will do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jen and David.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
What a feel-good story, don't you think?
Yes, and it's time now to take a break.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. Remember, we love emails, so do send us one or two or three or four. Address, onthemenu@onthemenuradio.com.
We love email that much.
We do.
Well, I like email. Our next character is interesting. Watch out, listeners. The British are coming. And the British are bringing you a wonderful product, which we'll just let the person who's bringing it to us explain.
On the Menu has certainly enjoyed Juniper Green Organic Gin. And for that, we need to thank Paul Davis. Paul, your gin is fabulous. It's a grand product. Could you tell us a little bit about the company and how it got started and the line of organic spirits and the fact that you're the first to be certified organic? Talk to us a little bit about your product and company.
Thanks, Ann. Well, Maison Jomere has been an importer for many, many years of wines only. Back in 1999, my friend Chris Parker, who actually invented organic spirits, the first certified organic spirits he created, came to me with an idea. And he told me that he had this gin and vodka that were organic. And when I heard the word organic, I said, wow, this could really be something, because I always believed in sustainable resource anyway, and organic's part of it. Anyway, when I tasted the gin, I almost fell off the chair. It was easily the smoothest and cleanest gin I'd ever tasted in my life.
I'll ditto that. Absolutely.
And I fell in love with it. And then when I found out how it was produced, Juniper Green is produced by using UK5 organic vodka, and we were the first organic vodka to be certified. We take the vodka and we infuse tannicles. Tannicles are infused in two of the smallest stills in the UK, maybe all of Europe. We can only produce 500 liters of alcohol a day. So basically, the Juniper Green gin is handcrafted. They're made in small batches. They're made by our cellar master has been in the gin. His family has been in the gin making business since 1647.
Wow,
it's absolutely amazing.
That's going to wow. Is his last name Gin?
He's quite a character. By the way, the gin stills, the actual stills were named. We named them Tom Thumb and Thumbelina, with typical British humor.
The
distillery is in London, out of the Thames Distillery. There's a separate section just for organic. It's almost kosher because we keep it totally separate. And we take the vodka from Germany. It comes from one single field that produces this very special rye. And by the way, the vodka is, there may be others, I don't know of any others, but our vodka is not filtered in any way.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's easily the smoothest vodka distillate man ever produced. So it goes right from the still into the bottle.
And is that product available as well, Paul?
Yeah, UK. It's called UK5.
UK5, okay.
And the amazing part of this vodka is if you open it, you know when you open up a bottle of vodka, it smells, it reeks of alcohol. Well, ours doesn't. It's almost got a floral nose to it.
I never noticed that before, but you're a man who knows his spirits, so I'm sure you must get it right. I think one of the reasons that we perhaps don't get that smell is we keep our vodka in the freezer.
Well, you're drinking it properly, but before you put it in the freezer, you have to open up the bottle.
Okay, well, we'll check that out.
I'll tell you why it's important, because besides if you drank vodka, it's important, but without it, When you make the gin and you infuse the botanicals into the vodka to make gin, which is all gin is, if there's no heavy alcohol smell to get in the way of the aromas of the botanicals, you end up with a very clean, fresh product. And that's what our juniper green is. It doesn't have a cloying smell. It doesn't have an overpowering smell. It's just clean and fresh like an organic product should be.
Is there any mass-produced gin that sort of comes close, like Tanqueray 10 or Beefeaters? Or do any of those even come close?
Honestly, we keep winning all these competitions and winning gold.
I don't know.
People say the closest thing to it, and I don't think so, would be Bombay Sapphire.
Okay, all right.
But yeah. I mean, it's a similar type product, but it's organic, and I don't think you're going to be able to match
it. It's absolutely matchless. You're right. I just you can't go back to drinking the other stuff once you've had it.
Now, let's suppose now we've already established that Juniper Green is a superior gin. Now, how do you think that Juniper Green should be imbibed? Should it be drunk with tonic? Should it be drunk in martinis? What's your preference in that regard?
I invented a thing called Organtini.
Go ahead.
And here's what you do. You take crushed ice. You pour the gin over the crushed ice while saying vermouth. and then squeeze some fresh lime juice in it from a fresh lime.
Okay.
It is delicious. It is absolutely delicious.
I'm going
to... By the way, okay, Ann, you have to say vermouth. You understand that.
I understand. You have to say
it. That's part of the schtick.
I feel about vermouth the same way you do.
We'll
we're going to do that today.
Yeah, we'll have one of those before
If you
dinner.
Have one of those, it is so refreshing. And by the way, then stir it. Don't shake it.
No
shake
sugar.
Vodka. Mm-hmm. You don't shake vermouth. I mean, gin.
James Bond would know, right?
James Bond screwed up ever. Well, he drank vodka, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Well, a classic James Bond martini is apparently a combination of gin and vodka and vermouth.
Is it?
But there's way too much vermouth in it for my taste.
Probably too much vodka in it.
but as long as it was, what's the name of your product again? As long as it was...
Juniper Green?
No, as long as it was the vodka.
The UK5?
UK5. I suppose that would be allowed. Huh? Well,
yep.
let's talk about the important question, because we have listeners around the world. Obviously, mm-hmm. your product's in distribution in the United Kingdom. What about the U.S. and the rest of the world?
I don't know the whole all the distribution, because we're the importers just for the United States. I know in the U.K. he's in all the major multiples, as you would say.
Okay.
I know he's in Europe, in many countries in Europe.
Okay.
He's starting in France. He started in Germany. I think there's some in Scandinavia and about to enter into Holland.
And it's always under the same trade name?
Oh, yeah. It's
Juniper
always
Green?
Always the same.
And
he's gone into the Orient, into Japan. He's in Canada now. Small, but he's in Canada. In the United States, we're in now 24 states. We hope to be in 26 by the end of August.
Great.
This isn't the mass-produced product with massive amounts of money behind it. So,
No. But it'll catch on. I mean, if it's good, then it's like the better mousetrap thing, right? Emerson, who said
it. We hope so. I want you to know there's another part to organic.
Go ahead.
Not that I want to get out of sync here, but being organic is only one half of the equation. At least that's how we look at it. That's how I look at it, and Chris Parker looks at it.
And Chris Parker is the one
Chris Parker is the owner and the managing director of the Organic Spirits Company in London.
All right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he really is the fellow who created this whole program. I'm only following in his footsteps and making suggestions now as we go along. But it was Chris Parker who created this.
Okay, but your company is the Maison Jomere?
Maison Jomere, which was the wine company, and okay. We created the Organic Spirits Company USA
okay.
with these products.
Got it.
And anyway, if you think about it, there's two sides of the equation being organic. If you're organic, you should also be into a friendly environment, eco-friendly, sustainable
right.
resource.
Carbon footprint.
Carbon footprints. All of the things that are helping the environment. I was into that way before I was into organic.
Yeah,
what got me into organic was the fact that I've always believed in sustainable resource.
Well, you know, I predict that next year they're going to, at the Fancy Food Show, people are going to move to labels that claim that they are... Carbon zero?
Carbon neutral, I guess.
Carbon neutral.
Yeah.
Carbon neutral.
Now,
certified carbon neutral.
Unfortunately, we can't claim that for Juniper Green because this is a long way to go.
No. You're wrong. As far as the labeling and everything goes, the bottles are recyclable, the capsules are recyclable aluminum, the labels recyclable paper, the carton's recyclable. The only thing that isn't recyclable in our product is the ink and the glue. And by the end of the year, we're hoping to have soy ink and a water-soluble glue such as cornstarch, and that'll make us totally within the concepts of what you can possibly do to be environmentally friendly.
Well, you talk to the guy at Modo in Chicago because he has edible menus.
Have you seen the business cards and some of the materials that when you get done with the business card, you put it in the ground and it grows flowers?
Yes, we did
get some of that. I have to say, we had no success. We saw the seeds, but they never did grow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they never did grow. So
I didn't want to throw.
Yeah, we were very disappointed. Well, listen, we know Paul that you're a hero to come on the program because listeners, this man just had surgery on his throat, but here he is nevertheless bringing the message to you. So I hope you're suitably grateful, and that
I am.
That you'll make sure that you seek out Juniper Green, and if you can't get it, that you'll tell your local beverage distributor that you want them to bring it in, and then you'll be happily organic, and you'll be able to have one of those wonderful things. Tell us again, Paul, what it's called?
An Organtini. And how about let's make sure we have the website, which is...
www.organicspirit.com.
Okay. I better write that down myself.
You can also use my company name, by the way. Ian.
Okay. Well,
MaisonJomere.com also works.
I'm going to use...
That gives you the whole website.
Organicspirits.com.
Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
You're a trooper.
You're closer to the cocktail hour than we are, so have one on us, and we'll be thinking of you later.
Thank you very much, guys. It was nice talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Oh, and once again, I guess it's time to pause and have a few words from our sponsor.
And we'll look forward to talking to you again on the other side.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. On the Menu is moving right along, this time turning our attention to some fascinating healthful beverage.
Healthful beer, that's good stuff.
Yes, and it's you'll hear. It's Fruto.
Terry Zanthos, CEO, and probably a lot of other titles, of what has become one of my favorite companies, Fruto. Welcome to On the Menu, Terry.
Thank you, Ann. And a quick correction, my father is actually the CEO, and I'm the president.
Okay.
And we both own the company.
See, it's a family-owned operation, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Run us through that again. Your mother works in the office. Your brother did the logo. What else?
Yeah, so we have, it's definitely a family operation, and of course we have some great employees. My mother runs the office. My father and I run the business. My father oversees all of our vendor relations and supply, and we're one of the leaders in the industry in supply when it comes to these exotic fruits. And I run the sales and the marketing and deal with the on the PR end and those things, product development. And then I have a couple brothers involved. I have a brother that works for Nike that does all of our design work and all of our label, and he designed our award-winning bottle as well. And then two other brothers that work with us as well.
So it's really a family affair.
Definitely a family affair.
Well, one of the things you did, Terry, and you don't realize what a steep hill to climb this is, but you got Anne hooked on fruit juice with this fabulous product called a Yumberry, which your marketing literature says don't confuse this with an Arbutus. Which we know because we know a restaurant in London that has that name. But Yumberries are very widely grown in
China.
Olympic country, I believe.
Exactly, in China and Australia.
Oh, there you go.
Where in Australia?
In the western side of Australia.
Oh, no kidding.
Well,
I don't know too many details. I haven't been there and I haven't seen it, but there was a great article written by David Karp, who works for the New York Times.
Oh, I know David.
And he did a great story on the Yumberry, and of course he showed us a lot of the Yumberry farmers in Australia.
Now you not only do Yumberry, which is wonderfully very healthy and all that kind of stuff, so we'll let you tell us about the healthy stuff, but you also make it taste even better by adding other things to it as well.
Yes, our number one goal is always to make sure that we get the full effect of the antioxidants in every bottle. And, in fact, our company was built around that.
We started
in juice bars, yes. In the late 90s in uptown Minneapolis, we opened up our first juice bar, and then we ended up with a chain, and we decided in 2002 to start bottling our most popular drinks. And that's how we got into bottled juice. And eventually focused solely on just the bottled juice market, which we really enjoy, and it allows us to just expand into every state in the nation.
Now, how would you describe your overall line?
So we have, first of all, we call our juices super juices because in order for a juice to get in a bottle with our Fruitso label and logo, we require that it has a very high amount of antioxidants. So every product that we sell is focused on antioxidants. And our two main products that we carry are pomegranate juices or Yumberry juices, but there's a lot of emphasis on acai as well.
Right, and you were the first importers and bottlers of acai, right?
We were the first importers of acai. A lot of people make that claim, but in 1998... my father, who was raised in Brazil and is Greek, brought acai to me for my juice bars. My mother is from Brazil as well, and I even have a Brazilian passport. In 2002, we were the first company to ever put acai in a bottle.
Well, I mean, you were just at the fancy food show, right?
Yes.
Did you ever anticipate so much competition in this category as there is today?
Well, there is a lot of competition, but so we've had to stay on our toes because we don't want to ever do the same thing that anybody else is doing, and so we've always had have made an effort to make sure we're a step ahead of the pack, and so we're always making changes and upgrading our product line and making sure that we're doing things that nobody's doing. And that's why we launched Yumberry. We're the first company in almost the entire world to launch a Yumberry juice, just like we were the first, you know, as we mentioned, to launch acai and pomegranate and also organic pomegranate juice.
Right. Now, most of your juices are all natural and organic, aren't they?
Exactly. We have a natural line, an all-natural line, and we have a organic line.
Uh-huh. And, I mean, you're widely distributed, not in the old-fashioned sense only in health food stores, but on the regular mainstream retail, right?
Yes, we're widely distributed coast to coast. We're in every state in the country, and including Hawaii. And we're now launching into Canada as well.
And what's your website?
Our website is fruitzo.com, FRUTZZO.com.
And what's down the pike? I mean, you always have to stay a step ahead. Is there some new berry on the super fruit on the horizon?
Well, there's there's a lot of new things that we've been looking at and exploring, and we're, to be honest with you, waiting for the right moment to launch it. But
I mean, there are some, though.
There are some. There's a lot more, and it's amazing.
From
you know,
what
and,
part of the world? Let's play 20 questions.
I would say, you know, we like the fruits that are coming out of South America and Brazil. There's a lot of great products that come out of the Amazon. You know, a lot of people take prescription drugs for certain things, and there's a lot of fruits that do the same thing for you. And so we're exploring those things, and we're doing a little bit of research. We don't like to make big health claims. In fact, if you look at our website, we don't make any claims at all.
Uh-huh.
But we like to produce, we like to launch products that have some good scientific research, and the research speaks for itself.
Maybe you can make that yerba mate taste good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I've gone through an awful lot of yerba mate.
Yeah, exactly. And there's some great fruits out there. You know, one thing that we want to do is we want to maintain the status that we have as a super juice leader. Right now, we've been the only company that's been able to be on the forefront of launching these super juices. Of course, everybody ends up doing the same thing after a while. But we want to maintain that status, and so we are doing some great things with our product line. In fact, by the end of the year, we'll be also launching some great super juices that have recently been established, but you can't really find on the shelf. And there's some fruits like mangosteen, for example.
Oh, yes. We had mangosteen from where? There was a company that bottled it.
Yeah, and they said you can't bring in mangosteens, although somebody was working on it, actually bringing in real mangosteens. But apparently they were going to be so prohibitively expensive, it didn't seem like anybody would buy them. But the juice is really terrific, so I think that sounds like a very good direction.
And that day has come. There's a company called Zango that launched mangosteen in the U.S., and they're a network marketing company, so, of course, the product isn't available retail. But we...
We interviewed somebody, but I don't remember who it was.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, and we have access to this fruit, and now that day has come where mangosteen is on the shelf in produce.
Great, uh-huh.
So you can actually find it in your supermarket.
You mean the actual fruit?
You can buy the mangosteen fruit.
Oh, no kidding.
I wonder if Melissa's has that.
Melissa's is the one who brought it in.
Well, that must have been who we were talking to about it. Now, quickly before we wrap up, is there a store locator on your website?
Our store locator will be up and running very shortly.
Okay, great.
So I would say that the next time somebody looks at our website, they'll be able to find our store locator.
And it's Do it again for me, Terry.
www.frutzo.com.
And you don't want to give us any more hints about what, besides mangosteen, is coming out of the rainforest or whatever?
Well, mangosteen comes out of...
Southeast Asia.
Southeast Asia, but there's a fruit called catuaba, for example.
That I've never had.
And it comes from a bark, and it's I wouldn't necessarily call it a fruit, but it's an outstanding product, and there's, I don't want to say what this is, but there's the leading prescription drug in the nation is purchased to solve a certain, you know, problem for men, and this catuaba does the same thing. So we don't know if we want to necessarily launch this, but I'll just an example of all the types of fruits that you can find in the Amazon. There's something that does something for everybody.
You know, getting curing baldness are the two things I would think
yeah.
Money makers.
Well, listen,
I can't wait for that to come out. That's really great.
And Peter's not saying a word.
And you know, we have an image to protect and all that, so we got to be really careful if we ever did something like that. But the bottom line is that my point was that there's a cure for everything. And the great thing about the super juice category is that It's going to open up the doors to many other juices, and eventually we're going to go back in time and stop using as many prescription drugs to solve our problems.
Yeah, that's value of this.
Yeah, we need to say goodbye because we got somebody coming in again very shortly. But Terry, if you could hang on the line, well, I'm going to stop the recording. But there is a question I want to ask.
What I want to ask Terry is I need to talk to you again about traveling in South America and particularly Brazil. Can I call you about that?
Of course. In fact, we'll take you there.
Oh, boy, you've got a date. I'm not kidding.
Right.
That's wonderful.
Yep, you've got your personal tour guide. No problem.
Well, we're with you. So I will call you and talk about that further. And meanwhile, thank you for producing such wonderful, wonderful product.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, thanks, Terry.
And are we going to take a break now?
Yes.
We are. We're going to take a pause for the cause, and we'll talk to you on the other side.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
I am the tea drinker in this family. I guess I forgot to say welcome back. So welcome back. You're listening to On the Menu Radio with Ann and Peter Haig. As I said, I'm the tea drinker, and I love finding out new varieties of tea, and there's just so much out there now. Next stop, you're going to get a lot of background information from the person that we're interviewing about his product, and so I'll let him just jump into that. Dave Dahl, I've read all of your literature, and I've tried your wonderful tea, but I still have a lot of questions. Welcome to On the Menu.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
First of all, I want to say that we receive many, many, many samples of fine tea, and yours happens to be really special. The company is Dragon Pearl Tea.
Right. Thank you.
And it's a style, but it's also a specific, and it comes from where?
This is from Fujian, China, grown in the organic mountain area.
The photos on your website, I mean, I would love to be right there, just in that serene green, beautiful, and it looks so clean with all this pollution in China. You're way out of the pollution.
And I can just see you there among the tea-picking ladies bending over, picking tea leaves, too.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah, I actually have done that. Pick the tea and eat it. It's really not good until it's cured and prepared.
No, I was thinking of we're rather long in the tooth here on the menu, and our efforts at gardening are being supplemented by a college student right now because we can't bend over very long.
I see.
So the concept of us bending over together with Chinese people and picking tea leaves is somewhat hilarious, and that's what I was hinting at.
I pick raspberries.
Right. Well, yeah. And in the mountains, in the pure natural areas that are far from the cities, that's how they pick the tea, is by hand. And one reason is they can't get machines in those areas because they're stepped along the sides of the mountains. So it's all hand-picked, and that's a huge advantage, the mountain-grown tea. And I think that's what you're talking about, Anne. The main difference between our tea and other teas is how it's grown and where it's grown with ideal conditions.
Now, how did you find this to begin with, Dave?
Well, to be honest, it's not something that you can find by yourself. We happen to have a friend who's Chinese and who's from that area, and without him, we never would have found these remote organic farms in the mountains.
Okay, so you have two partners. One is a biologist.
Right, Judah Sanders, he's a former science teacher and a biologist who is an avid diver, and he and I used to go diving and catch lobster and bring them to our friend who owned a Chinese restaurant, and we got to be good friends, and when I came back from Hong Kong, I brought some tea back and thought, this is the best tea I have ever had, it's terrific, and I gave some to Hong, who was the Chinese restaurant owner, and he said, oh yeah, I know this tea, it's from near my home. You want to go there? You want to go there and see it? And the ball started rolling.
Oh, isn't that incredible?
How long ago was this?
This was a little over 3 years ago. Actually, it's been close to 4 years now. And then we went over there and fell in love.
Now, were you in the tea business then, or were you just a tea enthusiast?
No, I wasn't even a tea enthusiast, actually. I had tried many green teas, for health reasons, and just didn't like any of them, and they didn't stick with me. But the really good teas, I had never tried anything that was fresh whole leaf tea that was organically grown. And cared for the way you care for a fine wine, and it's a whole different thing.
Now, when we were talking before we started recording, you said that it's almost impossible to compare the fresh product which you offer to the tea that's sort of old and powdery and in tea bags.
Oh, that's terrible stuff.
I mean, do launch forth on that by all means so that our listeners really understand the difference.
Well, I think to begin with, as a deciduous plant, there's certain conditions for growing tea that are really important to consider, and one is purity. So to begin with, away from the lowlands and the cities in the areas where the mountains are pure in air and soil and water. That's really important to us, and that's what led us there. But what we found on that trek was that tea has a perfect growing cycle that includes photosynthesis in the daytime, glycolysis at night, and if the temperature conditions are perfect for that, then you wind up with a very full-flavored tea that's very potent. And it's different if you have tea that's not grown under ideal conditions because it can be really flavorless to begin with. So besides purity, this ideal temperature with the coastal breeze blowing across the mountains. It's like wine grapes. They have to be right. So that's the beginning. And then keeping it fresh and whole so that air doesn't get to it, not grinding it up, and then packaging it at the farms in double airtight containers. And,
how does it get so curled up? I mean, I put these buds, real tight buds, in the heated water, and then they open up into full leaves. But how do they get curled up?
Well, it depends on if you're talking about the oolong tea or the jasmine pearl tea.
It's the jasmine, I think.
The jasmine dragon pearl is actually the very tip of the new leaves that grow in pairs, and they pick that tip and they roll it into a little ball, and that's done by hand.
That's what I'm working on. You asked which one I was drinking, and that's the one.
So
isn't that a great tea?
It's just so fabulous.
Dave, this is in fact the way that these people pick it. I mean, that's a part of the picking process that they roll it like that.
Actually, no, it's part of process.
Okay,
They pick it, and then once it's picked in baskets, they bring it in and they hand roll it.
Okay.
And then they cure it with fresh jasmine blossom,
okay.
And that's
why you
have that jasmine flavor. Well, jasmine is a traditional flavor for Chinese tea that's really the only flavor Chinese ever add other than medicinal flavors, such as roots and that kind of thing. But the traditional jasmine flavored tea is really prized in China and being discovered now in America because it's really different and special, as you found. What they do is they take fresh jasmine blossoms, and they can only do this in the summer when the jasmine is blooming. They take the blossoms and pour them into baskets over the tea, and they let them dry. And after they do that 7 times, that jasmine blossom essence is infused into the tea pearls, and then they package it up airtight.
Now that the your tea leaves are dried, though. I mean, they're picked fresh, but they're dried.
That's right. They're dried in different ways for different kinds of tea.
Okay.
So, for example, the white tea is just picked and washed and dried fast, and that's why it's fluffy and crinkly like natural leaves might fall from a tree, where green tea is heat cured and it's roasted in an oven or a big pan called a ding. It's like a big wok. And so they have, different methods of roasting the green tea. And what that does is it cures the tea and makes it retain this color. It's a bright green color if it's done right. When you add hot water, it turns bright green and has this luscious, nutty, rich flavor that's really different from plain, pure white tea, which is the most natural form of tea.
Now,
tea and green tea.
What is more healthy, white or green? It used to be green, and now everybody's saying white.
Well, essentially, it's the same thing. And the reason white tea is often considered more healthy is the plant polyphenol levels are higher because the leaf is the least processed kind of leaf is white tea leaves. The polyphenol levels are highest in white tea. And that also applies to green tea, but not quite as high. When lab tests are done, the white tea is usually higher in EGCG, which is the plant polyphenol that's the cancer-fighting ingredient in green and white tea.
Well, let's get to the really important stuff, because by now everybody knows that Ann highly recommends this. Peter's not much of a tea drinker, so he doesn't. I've been listening to you, and it all sounds wonderful, but I might try some every once in a while. The difficulty is I have memories of tea with milk when I was growing up as a child in England, and I didn't like it then. I don't like it now, and it sort of turned me on. I do make iced tea from time to time. In fact, I made some iced green tea this morning. But how do people get dragon tea? It comes in such an absolutely wonderful box. which Anne hasn't even put away. It's sitting out in the dining room where it's readily accessible because it's such a beautiful arrangement inside. But how do people get some?
Well, traditionally it's been really hard to get tea of this quality. And even if you go to China and pay a lot of money, it's often stale and, you know, you frankly never know what you're getting.
No, the key question, Dave, is how do our listeners get some? If I'm listening to this program and I know I want to get some dragon tea, how do I go about getting some?
Thank you. Of course, we're bringing it to America, and we have it in many stores, mostly in California, but starting to be around the United States. The easiest way for a listener probably is to go to dragonpearltea.com, and you can type your zip code and see if there's a store in your area. And if there's not, you can just place an order online.
Okay, now, is this very expensive?
Well, it depends on what you consider expensive. I've paid $100 for a small container of tea and not enjoyed it as much as our flavors that we have. Just, you know, the pure freshness. But these range from about $8.99 in a store or $8.50 online to about $15.50 online. And sometimes as high as maybe $20 in the store.
Oh, that's
so
not bad at all.
Not too bad, because this is a large container, so this is, you know, 30 to 40 servings. And one important thing about that is that this tea is best on the second and third and fourth steepings.
Yes,
so you steep it many times for each serving.
Okay, the first time I started dealing with green tea, I called a Chinese friend of mine, and she ran me through all the ritual that her father does, how he actually pours out the first steeping.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
In fact, all Chinese people will do that if they're serving tea to someone else. They say, you know, always pour out the first steeping or give it to someone you don't like. Because the first steeping, you know, it may have some dust and that kind of thing, but also the leaves aren't primed. It won't be as hot because the cup is usually cold. So the second, third, and fourth steepings are the ones generally that are considered the ones to serve.
Now, this is a special package, a gift package that I was looking at. It comes with, go ahead, what's in it? It's two canisters and then little canisters and then that steeping cup.
Yeah, well, we have a couple variations of our organic gift box, and we include green and white tea with a steeping cup, and the steeping cup just makes it really easy to use fresh leaves instead of a tea bag.
Yeah, well, I just love it, and I hope listeners will try it. I think it's a bargain, too. I mean, I paid a lot more for tea than that.
Well, also, when you compare it to a standard Whole Foods product with 20 tea bags of horrible powdery dry tea for about somewhere between $4 and $6,
right?
You're in very much the same price range. So, listeners, it's again do the website again for us, Dave.
It's dragonpearltea.com, and I would just throw in one more comment, which is cheap tea can often have impurities like pesticides and heavy metals.
Oh,
and
nice.
So that's why it's cheap. It's not, you know, grown and cared for the way, you know, tea that you really want to put in your body is.
Well, that doesn't sound like a very good note on which to finish up. So instead, we'll finish up on note of the fact that dragon pearl tea is wonderful. It's grown on the mountainsides of southeastern China
in
an environment that looks absolutely delightful. And it's been absolutely delightful, Dave, to have you join us on the program.
Thank you, sir, and Anne, thank you both for your time.
Thanks, Dave. Bye.
Bye.
And how about we finish up with some closing remarks? It's been quite a drinking day, and whether you're going to have a glass of Fruzzo, whether you're going to have a cup of tea, or whether it's time for an Organtini or a glass of Brave Spirits with your favorite mixer or just on the rocks, whatever it is, I'm sure you'll be in good company. We hope you enjoyed the program and that you'll join us again same time, same place next week.
Bye-bye.